remember.
Would in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2. We're going to read verse 17. I'd like to read a lot more of it, but I want to keep my time short to give the last speaker more time to bring his sermon. So we're just going to read verse 17 since it kind of sums up the chapter. And we're going to just go on from there. It says, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." I want to speak to the young adults this night. I try to do that usually every conference I'm here, to give everyone a chance to participate in the conferences, because most of the messages that are spoken are usually spoken to the married couples and to the men. And so I want to give everyone here a chance to participate. And so I would like to preach a little bit about this passage, about this chapter, and about these two men that it relates here, and to you, about 15 to marry. One of the things I remember before I got married, been married about 8 years now. One of the things I remember and one of the things I've observed about young people is that one of the main reasons they make decisions or do things is because of wanting to spare themselves of being ashamed. That's why when they're in school, they can get with peer pressure, they get on a kid and they can get him to do almost anything just so he doesn't feel like he's ashamed in front of his friends. And you get a bunch of kids to run together and they'll all do the same thing. And most of them will know they shouldn't be doing it. Most of them know it's wrong. Most of them will know they're going to get caught, but they're going to do it because they're afraid of being ashamed. And I remember me too. You know, that's what keeps a lot of grown-ups from doing things that they should do. It's what keeps a lot of people from going out on the streets and preaching, is that they're afraid of being ashamed. Shame is a very, very powerful motivator. And you can shame people into doing stuff. And I think a lot of times as parents, we shame our children into doing things. Well, we have here two men, Eli's sons, they're priests, and they're not good boys. They're typical preacher boys. They're just what they are. I mean, everybody knows what kind of rap missionary kids get. And I know because I was one, usually it's deserved. I mean, Brother Lindell can tell you stories about me around here. And my dad can. And my grandparents can. I got kicked out of my first school for knocking some kid's head open or something with a stick. You know, and these boys here, Eli's sons, they have some problems. And what decisions they're making are going to bring shame on many things they love. They're trying to save themselves from being ashamed of some things, and yet they are shaming many things. One of the things that you bring shame on, you young adults, when you make these bad decisions and when you start living for yourself, is you bring shame on your parents. You know, they raised you. You're born in a Christian home. They raised you to be better than what you're probably being right now. They raised you to make better decisions. They looked out and they saw all the downfalls and all the pits and all the problems in the world, and they instilled values in you so when you got up to the age of making decisions, you'd make good decisions. Decisions to save you from trouble. But you know, when we get to be about 15 or 17 or 19, we don't see it that way. We see that they're trying to hurt us. But this is ridiculous. Look, I want you to all think back, all you young people, think back to when you were about 8 or 9 years old and how angry you would get or how frustrated you would get when your dad or mom would make you look before you crossed the street. And what a pain it was. You wanted to run and you wanted to play and you wanted to go, but no, you had to stop. And I remember Brent Riggs. He was always hilarious the way he... Yeah, Jason's here. You remember the day probably. All right. It's always more fun when someone remembers. He was always funny. We always cracked up what he did with Jason and Corey, poor kids. All of us got whippings, you know. We just got whipped and my dad get a big stick and he was a carpenter, which is bad for me. Sticks everywhere. He'd get a big stick and just whip me good. No, not Jason and Corey. They ran across the street one day and Brent saw them, so he spanks them and then he puts them on the edge of the street doing this for like 2.5 hours. Good night. I'm surprised he doesn't walk around like this. You remember that? Yeah. Bet you watch before you cross the street now. And you know, you're thinking, I can just imagine him sitting there saying, man, my dad sure is stupid. I sure do hate him. But you know, a lot of kids die every year because they don't watch when they cross the street. It's not out of hate that our parents told us these things and taught us these things. Look, you think you got it rough? You're always complaining, oh, my parents, they're so terrible. If you're born in a Christian home, I doubt you have it that bad. I've read some horror stories in the newspapers of kids who really did have it that bad. I remember back in Houston, I read a story about a man who somehow got a hold of some radioactive matter and put it in socks, and he would put it in his child's bed every night until he became sterile. His own dad. You think you got it rough? You think you got problems? Give me a break. You need to watch Jerry Springer or something and find out you don't have problems.
That's right.
Man, everything your parents have ever done is for you. In fact, you know what? Probably the only thing we can fault most of the parents of in this room is for giving too much. Yeah. And parents do that. Man, I remember though, and down there in Mexico, we only knew one answer. No. No, what was that? No. No, why we even bothered asking half the time? You know, just no. Right off the bat, no. And we get up to the age when we can make our own decisions, or we think we can, which is usually about 15 years before we really can. And we start thinking we're going to make our own decisions and we're going to do what we want to do. And what we start doing is exactly what our parents have told us not to do, and have taught us not to do, and given us an example of not doing it. Thinking, well, we're free, we can do whatever we want, and we're going to do what they told us not to do, and we're going to show them. And the only thing you're doing is bringing shame on your parents. You know, think about it. Your parents, they've gone to your neighbors or their neighbors and knocked on their door and witnessed to them. And those neighbors, they know when you show up late, and they know where you've been. You think because you live in a big town, nobody knows you, but that's not true. It's a small world. I remember one time, we were going from San Luis Potosí. We're driving up here, and we're going down these highways, these Mexican roads, and we pull into a gas station, and Dave App, at the same moment, he was a missionary there in Matehuala, pulls in the same gas station at the same moment. What are the chances? A 14-hour drive. We're only going to fill up. We're going to be there for about 5 or 10 minutes, and he pulls in right there. And the life is full of these kind of things. People see you, and they know who you are. And they know who your parents are, and they know what your parents profess. And you bring shame on your parents. You know, they've probably witnessed and given tracts to your teachers. The same ones who have to call them in and say, hey, your kid's the worst kid in the class. You know how many times my mom had to go to my school? She should have just rented one of the little school buildings and just lived there. When I was in elementary, they made me sit. They put me in the classroom that was next to the principal's office, and it had a door going directly into the principal's desk. I didn't even have to go through the secretary. We're on a first name basis. Hi, Michael, bend over. Man, my dad put me in school. I thought it was cruel. He put me in school, and he'd walk in and say, what do I got to sign so you can whip me? Man. He'd go to school and say, I'll make you paddle so you can whip him, and put down his pants right in front of everyone and whip him good. Man. But there's a reason for these things. Your parents aren't kooks. You're going to live your life the way you are. You think, oh, my friends and me, we get together. You better go look at your friends' parents, and most of the time you'll find out they're a bunch of losers. Which one of you have ever had to stand in a courtroom and decide which parent you're going to live with? Man, you don't know how good you guys have it. I was listening to Bill, and Bill saying, man, I kind of resented the fact that I grew up as a Christian. Not me. You may have, but you know, when I grew up, I may not have liked getting the whippings, and I may not have liked the discipline, but I never resented being in a Christian home. I did not have to worry that my dad was going to come home drunk and beat me around the house. I never had to worry about that. I never had to worry that my mom was going to be running around with a neighbor. Never. I had a godly Christian home. And I don't resent it. I appreciate it. And I always have. I got saved when I was 6 years old. God saved me from murder and from drugs and everything because I never did them. You know, you get these guys that are saying, oh, I was a drug addict and I killed everyone and I was this. And everyone's saying, man, I wish I had a testimony. I have a better one.
Amen.
I never did it. Never smoked a cigarette in my life. Never. Never did any kind of drugs in my whole life. I've never taken one drop of alcohol in my whole life. Never said a cuss word. I don't regret it. Not once. Oh, there's been temptations. They've tried to get me to do it. They've tried to shame me into doing these things, and I never did them. One of the reasons is I did not want to shame my parents. I did not want to make my parents ashamed of me. I wanted to live up to the expectations they have. You know, sometimes we Christians think our parents have unreasonable expectations. Missionary kids and preacher kids, they might think that they have the expectations that they too have to be preachers, but I don't think so. I don't expect my boys to be preachers. Not everybody's called. I don't think it's a heritage thing. I think it's God's calling. And I'd be thrilled if God called them and they surrendered. That'd be great. But if they turn out to be pilots, or they turn out to be hamburger flippers or ditch diggers, as long as it's honest work, I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them. I'd rather them make minimum wage their whole life and do it honest, and I'm proud of them. I'm proud of myself. And what I wanted when I was a kid is I wanted my dad to be proud of me. You shame your parents when you make your decisions you make. You ought to think about that when you make those decisions. You ought to think about it. You ought to just pause for a moment and think that you have good, godly parents who love you, and even when you're rebellious, and even when you criticize them and openly rebel against them, they still love you and they still pray for you. And when you're in trouble, it's them you'll still call. Say, hey dad, come bail me out of jail. And he'll talk big and tough, but he'll probably go. Probably shouldn't. You know, my dad always threatened that he was just going to take me to jail and leave me there for a couple of days. just so I'd know what it felt like to be in jail. I couldn't believe it. I got some wild, so I won't get into that. Okay. I won't confess other people's sins. You know, he always used to say, I'll go ahead and confess a little bit. He always used to say, I'm going to pull up a tree and I'm going to beat you till your nose bleeds. And that's why I say stuff like that now. I remember one time I made all these paddles. I don't know if you guys remember that. I made hundreds of paddles. It felt like hundreds. I spent days making them. Then I came to church and I passed them all out. Still got one. There you go. And I made a real big one. And I was going to give it to someone I didn't like. I made a big one. My dad saw that and he kept it. It was terrible. And then he broke it on me like 2 weeks later. You know, my little sister is not growing up with the same people I grew up with. Aliens have come down and snatched them away. The real people. Shoo. You know, when I used to be babysit by other people, and they would spank me, my dad would spank me again. Just in case they didn't spank me hard enough. What kind of people do that? Anyway. Just a little bit there. But you know, I love my parents. I love them both. I'm proud of them. And I did not want to shame them. But you live your life wrong and you'll shame your parents. They'll have to come up and they'll say, is that your son? Is that your son that's living like that? And they'll have to say, yeah, that's my son. Yeah, that's my daughter. Yeah, that's me. And they'll have to stand up and they'll have to take it. When you would probably disown them and not want to confess them, they'll confess you, but they'll be ashamed of you. You really want that? You ought to think about that. But you know, also, you're going to bring shame on your church. I know churches that I've never been to, but I've heard about them. That's where all the hellraisers go. That's where all the wickedest kids in town, that's where they go. If you want to keep your kid out of sin, don't go to that church. I've heard of churches like that. You know how hard some men have worked to make this church what it is? You think you have better ideas, and you think, man, if we were here, we'd do things right. You know how, just imagine, just picture in your mind, all you that aren't married, down to about 15, just picture in your mind what this church would be in 1 year if starting right now you ran things. Just imagine how much money would be given to missions this next year if you ran things. About 102 bucks, your life savings, maybe. Man, you guys are part of one of the best churches. Lindell says it's the best. You know, that's his humble opinion. But one of the best churches anywhere. Anywhere. Where they actually care for you and they actually teach you and they actually care for while you're living and they'll actually come up and knock on your door. You know, I've never met a Catholic once who has his priest come knock on his door and say, hey, why weren't you in Mass Sunday? Hey, I saw you drunk the other day. What are you doing with that person? You shouldn't be dating that Christian. Should be dating Catholics. You'd never find a Catholic that has that experience. The priests don't even know them. They have no idea who they are. Man, you got pastors in this church who know you and they care for you and they're going to come knock on your door and they're going to look after you. At least for a while. And you bring shame on your church. But you know also, you bring shame on your Lord. I remember when we were in León, Guanajuato, and we'd go downtown and preach, and that was back in the 80s. And that's when Jimmy Swaggart, the first time they caught him with a prostitute, I guess it was, or something like that. Man, we heard that every single night. You guys are like Jimmy Swaggart, aren't you? He says he's a Christian every single night. And what could we say? He said he was a Christian. We can't just necessarily say, well, we're not one of his. What can we say? He shamed every Christian out there. And he shamed the Lord Jesus Christ. All this preaching he did on how God can change you and how God can make you different. And it is true. It's not false. It's not AA garbage. It's real. God really changes lives.
Amen.
And yet, you just live however you want. Do whatever you want. And think that nobody matters and it doesn't affect anybody. But it does. You trample the blood of the Lord and you shame Him. You ought to think about that next time. When you're in the dark in the car with your girlfriend, you think nobody sees. There's somebody who sees. And you know, it's not just the Lord of vengeance saying, I'm going to get you. It's your Lord and Savior, and He's ashamed of you. But you know, last of all, I want to touch on is that you bring shame to yourself. Now, you don't know it at the moment. You think everything's fine. But you're going to wake up one day, and you're going to be old. Now, for us, that means about 42, right? It's true. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to be old. And you're going to look back and you're going to be ashamed of a great part of your life. You know, Willie Cosby comes and he tells his stories and they're funny. And I like to hear them and I like Brother Willie. But I guarantee you, there's a lot of things he won't tell you. You know, he laughs about some things and how he did it and ha, that was funny. But I bet there's a whole lot of things that he will not tell you because he's too ashamed to even say it. You know, I bet everyone in this room who lived any substantial amount in the world has the same experience. They're ashamed of their life, and there are more that they will not tell you than there are good stories that they will. There is a great part of their life that they wish they could just black out and act like it never existed. Just put it away, because they're ashamed of it. Man, you know, I was saved at 6 years old. I went to the mission field at 8. I preached my first time at 9, and I started preaching full time at 14 years old, and I have things I am ashamed of that I will not tell you. Things I won't even tell my wife. I don't want anybody to know. And it pains me that I remember them. I'll be sitting there and everything will be fine. And I'll remember something I did and I'll just get red with shame. Embarrassment. That I would have done that or said that. And you do not want to live with that in your life. You do not want to live with that in your life. The Bible tells us here, we're looking at it, says the young men were so, their sins were so bad, so grievous, that people abhorred the things of God, the sacrifices of God. It got so bad. Man, have you ever just stopped and reflected for a minute, you guys? Have you ever just stopped and thought how ashamed you're going to be one day of what you're doing now? How you're going to look back and say, man, that was a wasted. You don't got very many. I don't know if you realize this. A third of your life, you're going to be pass it away sleeping. A third of your life. Whereas if you live 90 years, you can just click off 30. Those are gone. 30 years, just, they're gone. You're going to be asleep. You got so little time. So little time. You know, I don't think anybody here has any expectations of you that you have to be a preacher, or that you have to be a preacher's wife, or that you have to be a missionary, or that you have to be a pastor, or a deacon. I don't think anybody here expects that out of you. But I think your parents, and I think about everybody who knows you who's a Christian, expects you to live right. Expects you to do things that are not only good for the church, and not only good for your family, but are that good for you. You know, like I said, I've made very few poor choices in life, mostly because I've listened to my dad. Even when I didn't agree, I listened, and I don't regret any of it. I'm not resentful for any part of my life, not at all. I've been preaching for over 10 years. I've been preaching for about 13 years. I don't resent that. I don't regret it. Say, man, you mean you never smoked a joint? Never. And I don't regret it. Who wants to be stupid? I mean, you see these guys, oh, give me a break. Man, that's dumb. Cigarettes. There's nothing more stupid in the world than a cigarette. Idiots who smoke them. Have your getting stuff pierced. That is just dumb. You guys think you're cool. And you want to be cool, right? And you dress all what you think is cool. You guys aren't cool. Give me a break. Coolest guy in this whole room is Brother Lindell.
Amen.
He's the coolest dude in this whole room. You guys just think you know what cool is. That's why I'd rather go out to his place and shoot guns and talk with him than with any one of you guys. Not even interested. Even you, Brother Mark. Man, you're just too preoccupied and you're too concerned with dumb things. With things that you're going to be ashamed of later. Things your parents are going to be ashamed of and things your church is going to be ashamed of. It's time that every one of you just start thinking a little bit. And start listening to a little bit of advice. You know, the point about taking advice is that normally you take it when you don't agree. If you take advice when you agree, it's not taking advice. Taking advice is when you don't agree and you do it anyways because you look at the person giving it and you look at their life and you look at their success in their life and you say, I want that. I want to finish where they finish. I may not have everything I want along the way, but when I get done, I want to be that. So I'm going to take some advice. It's time some of you start taking some advice.
Right.
Not be like these sons. You read the story of these sons who lost their lives because they would not change. You don't want to be that way. You think that that can happen to you. I'm just a kid. Look, some of you aren't kids no more. Some of you are legally adults. And you're still saying, I'm just a kid. You're not a kid anymore. It's time you grew up and be a man. It's time you grew up and be a woman. Start making responsible decisions. Start thinking about how things are going to affect your future. Because everything you decide and everything you do and everything you say affects your future. So you better start thinking about these things. Because none of us, not me, not the pastors, and not your parents, nobody who really loves you, nobody who's willing to tell you what you don't want to hear when you don't want to hear it, wants you to be ashamed. They want you to be proud of the decisions you made. They want to be proud for you. They want your church to be proud for you. They want God to be proud for you. Nobody here wants you to be ashamed. You're the only one who's bent on self-destruction. You're the only one who's bent on being ashamed of half your life. It's time we made some good decisions based on some good counsel.